Seems that all three readings today kind of point to the fact that these people, Isaiah, St. Paul, and John the Baptist, knew exactly what their mission was supposed to be in this life. Isaiah, his job was to keep alive the hope in the chosen people, that they were God's chosen people, that he had specially prepared them for a mission, and his mission was that he would be the light of the world. And so he talks about how all of them, all peoples, will eventually be drawn to Jerusalem, which was considered to be the home of God. And that was the center of the chosen people. So it seemed like Isaiah had a pretty good idea what his mission was. It was simply to keep alive that hope that the chosen people would know that God had not abandoned them, that he brought them from slavery of Egypt, he led them for 40 years in the desert, fed them and their flocks for all this time in the desert, and that they still were chosen people even though they pretty much wandered from what the Lord asked of them. And St. Paul, pretty much voted rabbi. And remember in the early Christian days after the time of Christ, he was the one who was searching out Christians and persecuting them because he thought that they were really corrupting the law that God had given to them through Moses. And so that was what he was doing. He was searching out Christians when the Lord got his attention. And he said, Saul, he said, I have a mission for you. And the mission that I have is that you take my gospel and bring it to all people, bring it to the Gentiles, those who were not members of the chosen people. I want everybody in the world to know this gospel that I give, the gospel that I preach. And we know from that time on, Saul, who had been the very ardent rabbi, became Paul, the very, very devoted saint, proclaiming the gospel to all people. And then we see John the Baptist, another one. Seems like his mission was very clear from, well, before he was born. I mean, he was specially chosen to announce the coming of the Messiah. So he spent his entire life in preparation. When he came out of the desert preaching a repentance for the forgiveness of sins and washing people in the waters of the Jordan, baptizing them, but not with the Spirit, but to wash away their sins. He knew exactly what his mission was. Ultimately, it was to point out the Son of God so that people would not look at him as the great wonder worker or the great preacher, but that he would be the one to point to Jesus and say, he is the one who is the Savior. Follow him. So it seems like they had it pretty well made. But you know, it's very interesting to me, and we don't think about this enough as Catholic people, and specifically chosen for a mission. When God chooses us, he doesn't just say, okay, go find something for yourselves to do, keep entertained and try to stay out of trouble. He gives us a specific mission, every one of us. Now, it's not always easy to figure out what that is. It's really not all that easy at all. But if we take the time to look in our lives and ask ourselves, what does Christ really call me to accomplish in this world? What can I do to make sure that his message continues through my family, through my neighbors, whatever it may be, that somehow they have an idea of what this gospel of Christ is about. Now, all of us are going to be great preachers like Isaiah or John the Baptist or St. Paul. Darn few are. But somehow or another, we are all called to proclaim the message of Christ in our lives. And maybe something very specific. Now, it doesn't have to be anything elaborate. It doesn't have to be anything great. It doesn't have to be anything that you risk your life for or anything like that. It may be something very ordinary. And it may be simply this, that every day I pray for the conversion of the world. Or maybe every day by my life and my example, I teach my kids what faith is, what it means to hope, what it means to how to love. That love costs something. It's not always doing what I want. It's thinking more of what other people may need. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just being a good mom or good dad. Maybe it's just being an honest worker. Wherever you may work, whatever it may be, that you're honest, that you're fair, that you're kind to your coworkers, that somehow they have to see Christ living and working in you. And I don't think we take that seriously. But every one of us has a mission to fulfill in this world. I can't tell you what your mission is. You need to talk to God about that. He will probably say, well, you've been doing it pretty well for the last 20, 30, 40 years. Just keep doing what you're doing. I'm proud of that. You're living a good Christian life. You're being a good Christian so people can see what that's supposed to mean. You don't have to look for anything elaborate. We probably won't find too many people that have to do anything extraordinary like that. But are we willing to do it? That's what the question always is. I think sometimes, you know, in recent years, we've lost a lot of Catholics. How many people who call themselves former Catholics find some kind of religious fulfillment in another church? Or maybe no church at all. You know, and when we think about what all we have in our tradition, not only the long history of the tradition itself, but the gifts that God gave to us in the sacraments, in the scriptures, in the Eucharistic celebration, in the daily bread where we can come to Him every day if we choose to be nurtured by that sacrament. And you kind of say, what is it that we lack that they need to go somewhere else? And I wonder sometimes if it has something to do with that sense of mission, that they don't feel they have any real purpose in the church, that the church seems to run, function fairly well if I'm there, if I'm not. But is that really what it's supposed to be? Maybe we are failing as church. Maybe we just don't recognize the gifts and the talents of the people who make up the church, which is all of us. Maybe we just kind of look to something else, somebody else to take care of it. And then when somebody else takes care of it, then I don't have anything to do. I don't have any responsibility toward it. So it becomes very easy for me to drift, to kind of wander off, maybe check a few other things out. But I think we have to have that sense that the church, the mission of the church, which is the mission of Jesus Christ in this world, is our mission. We were baptized into this. We said that we would follow and do what Christ asked us to do. But I think somehow if we're going to be faithful and really feel that we belong and contribute something, then we have to have that sense that God called me by name, and He has a specific mission for me in this church and in this world. It's not just let's make a bunch of people today. It doesn't make any difference what shape or what color or anything like that. It doesn't make any difference if they have to do anything or not. God doesn't work that way. And we learn from Isaiah, from Paul, and from John the Baptist that every one of them knew what that mission in life was for them. Maybe it was made pretty clear to them. It's not always made clear to us. But somehow we have to know that there is that call from Christ for each and every one of us to accomplish something in His church and in this world. And if we don't do it, how's it supposed to happen? So we look at our 2,000-year history and we say, well, you know, it's really a good message. Why doesn't the world listen to it? Why isn't the world converted? Why aren't they convinced? And we can look at our own members sometimes and say, are you convinced? Are you convinced? So it really, a lot depends on how we're going to look at this. Do I just kind of say, well, it's like belonging to a club, you know. If I go, it's fine. If I don't go, it's fine. As long as I'm not a leader in the club or something like that, it doesn't make any difference. Well, that club is as strong as the membership. If the membership doesn't care, that thing's going to dissolve very quickly. But Christ said his church is going to last. Now, it may not last in the same way that he hopes it would, that we, in getting the message out there, maybe he wanted us to accomplish that 1,000 years ago, a lot better than they did. But then we don't look at that. That's not our problem. Our problem is ourselves. We were called and commissioned and sent. We each one have something distinct that God wants us to accomplish in the church and in the world today. How am I going to find that out? By talking to God. That's the way I'm going to find out. Where can I find in my life that when I work at it, I'm at peace? When I work at it, I know people around me are much more comfortable. They're much more curious. Why do you do this? What prompts you to do that? And basically what it is that Spirit of God who already dwells in you. So it may be worth our while. Sense that I have something distinct to contribute to all of this that makes a difference. Maybe not a huge difference, but it makes a difference. Not only for me, but for the whole church and for the whole world. Because somehow by that action, I am making sure Christ is proclaimed. So take some time, and just ask yourself, what is my mission? Where do I find peace? And what does it take except simply to live what Christ has called us to live in that particular gift, vocation, or mission? Then we will do what Christ calls us to do. We will know what our mission is.